Thank you. It is fantastic to be here. Really a privilege. It is a privilege to send the three ladies to Kazakhstan. I wish I could go. I wanted to wear my Let's Go top this morning and I decided not to, but now I think I should have. We also celebrated Father's Day this morning. Sundays are quite hectic for us. We had to leave early, and so we just had a quick little get-together with Anton, and all the kids came with their little cards and their little biltong and droewors packets and things. And as we gave it, Caleb, the smallest one, he's 3 years old, decided that that was not enough. So he ran to the kitchen and he fetched Anton a banana. And then he gave the banana. Oh, thank you. That's so much better. Now I can see who I'm speaking to. Then he gave the banana, and then Anton was so, you know, what us parents do. He was so excited about this banana, and he ran back and he took a picture off the wall, and he gave that to Anton as well. So then we sort of told him, this is great, but now, you know, more than enough. So we really want to celebrate the fathers and also the spiritual fathers. What a blessing to have men with backbone in our midst, really. So this morning, it is all about women. This is just the way it worked out, I suppose. And I want to commend you for being here on a long weekend, and it's cold and it's raining, so it's wonderful that you are here. And this morning, Theo asked me to speak about women, but I want to tell the men that this might be more even for the men and for the women, because as men, you enable the women to become who God has called them to become. And as women, we enable the men. That is why we need to understand both roles. And that is really what we are trusting God for this morning. So the title of the sermon this morning is Blessed Be the Fruit of Your Womb. That's a powerful title. I love speaking about the womb, and I know I do so quite often. Forgive me if you have heard it before, but there's a lot to say about the womb. And the womb is the one thing that distinguishes men, women from men. I don't think there's any man here with a womb. And I believe it is the womb that makes us who we are as women. And it is very powerful. God made women to be very powerful agents of representing Him on earth, and we are going to speak about that. But I want to start with this beautiful scripture in Luke, where Mary, the mother of Jesus, I'll just read it from there, where Mary, the mother of Jesus, with her pregnant tummy, and I believe there are, I think this is the church with the most pregnant women of all the churches. So this is very appropriate. When Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, which was her... What was Elizabeth, Kurt? Her aunt. And so they were family, and both were pregnant. And Elizabeth had the sense, when she saw Mary, she had the experience of the baby within her, who was John the Baptist, becoming extremely excited about the baby in Mary's tummy. That's quite something really special. And she said, the baby was leaping within me. And those who have been pregnant will know the amazing privilege of sensing a baby moving in your womb. And she was sensing that baby was sort of leaping in her womb. And she saw Mary, and spontaneously she was just crying out. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, which was obviously Jesus. And I think this was a beautiful moment. If we can just go to the next slide, I found a beautiful painting of that. Isn't that beautiful? I just want to cry when I see that. And just the joy between the two women, because destiny is in their wombs, in both of them. And when we speak about the womb, yes, we speak about the physical womb, But it goes much further than that. And I want to read another scripture from John 7, verse 38. And it is Jesus that speaks there, and he says, "He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." And I found something very interesting. The Greek word for heart, which is right there in that scripture, which is koinonia, is the same word that is used for womb in many other instances in the Word of God. And what it says there is, "He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of," and I want to change it to, "out of his womb," or "out of her womb shall flow rivers of living water." And I really believe, even though this is obviously for men and for women, because spiritual children is the inheritance of both of us, men and women, I really believe that we should recognize that because the women were blessed with the physical womb, whether that womb has been active or not, and I want to stress this point, whether that womb has carried a child or not, this is not relevant right now. The fact that you as a woman were blessed with a womb enables you and me, enables us to become everything that that womb is symbolizing. And what does it symbolize? What is a womb? What does the womb bring? Firstly, it is a place of fertilization. It is a place of growth. It is a place of, it's like a miracle when that baby grows within your tummy. It is like a miracle, but much more than that. It is about walking with this womb that is growing and growing and growing until the day that that baby has to be delivered. And it's not easy to bring a baby into this world in much pain. The Word of God says you will deliver, your children will be born in much pain. And then that baby is being delivered, and it is my sister ran the Comrades Marathon 3 times now. She's got 3 medals. The first time when she did it, she almost died. She was in ICU for 3 days. She dehydrated. And the next year, she did it again, and then she did it again. And she does not have children. She was never able to have children. She's 44 now. And I said to her, "I wish I could understand what it is like to run 90 kilometers in one day, but I probably have absolutely no clue." And she said, "I think it's a bit like giving birth." I said, "Okay, then I can imagine, and I wish you all the best for that." So it really is very extremely sacrificial. And then that baby is born, and then only it starts. And then your life changes from being able to have me time and being able to do whatever you want to do and all those things. It changes completely to, it becomes completely sacrificial. And it doesn't stop. Then that child, and because you love that child so much, you are compelled, you are forced, because of the love in your heart, you are forced to constantly care for that child, regardless of how tired you are, or emotionally weary you are, or whatever the circumstances may be. You will get up in the morning and you will care for that child. And then that child goes to school, and it's a whole new phase of your life, and it never stops. And you are continuously having to be sacrificial, loving unconditionally, let your heart be torn out at times, seeing that child going through all the phases of life. Some people have disabled children. We have a little boy with an eye that is hanging, and it's busy becoming, so he is really, children are looking at him funny, and all those things. We've got to walk them through all of that, and we've got to send them on their life path. And we need a lot of creativity. We need a lot of endurance. We need a lot of faith. It takes a lot to raise children. And I always think we can still do it with a warm bed and enough food. What about those women who do it with almost nothing? How hard must that be? And the whole thing that I really believe with all of my heart is that God says, woman, I have created you with an amazing, extraordinary ability to give and to give and to give. And when you are at the end of yourself, to give some more. If you tap into my grace. God has gifted women with an extraordinary ability to multitask. Even though I don't think He gifted me with it. But generally speaking, you know, men come home from after a long day of work and they just need to sit and, you know, all the things that people say, they go into their cave or whatever all the things are that is being said. But they need to. I know after my husband has preached a sermon like this, he will go home and he will sit in the couch and just reflect on the sermon. And I will go home to 5 hungry children and an even hungrier husband after I have preached as well, and to a house that is not clean and neat, and to getting everything ready for the school day tomorrow. Why can I do it? Why can he not do it? Because he can't. Because God has gifted me with an amazing ability. It comes from my womb. It comes from that place. God has made women extraordinarily powerful. Extraordinarily powerful. And when men enable women to become who God has made them to become. I remember Pastor Fred once said, it really stuck into my head. He said, nothing happens unless the women first sing about it. And after it happened, the women will sing about it again. If you go to the Word of God, Miriam running in front with the timbrel, praising God. Miriam making the way for Moses to become the leader of Israel. But we need to understand where that power comes from that God has given us. Because if we do not understand that, it can become very destructive. But women need to understand that God has created us to be a blessing, and that the fruit of our womb is supposed to be blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And I want to speak a little bit about the role of the wife, the role of single women, the role of women in the church, and some specific things that Theo asked me to speak about this morning. And I want to move on and firstly speak about married women. Who of the women here are married? Okay, who are engaged? Okay, great. Congratulations. I want to read from Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 23. There are so many similar scriptures. I picked this one. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. God has created a husband to lead a wife. I hope you knew that. I once read an interview that some other reporter had with Helen Ziller. I'm not going to speak politics, don't worry. I will never ever do that. I'm just going to tell a story. And at that stage, she was still only the mayor of Cape Town, but already quite well known. And the reporter, it was in a women's magazine, and the reporter said to her, you are such a powerful woman, and you've got so much going for you, and your future seems so powerful. And the reporter said to her, what does your husband and your 2 sons say about your position? So she laughed and she said, well, I come home in the evening because I'm always the last one to come home because I work the hardest. She says, I come home in the evening and they all sit on the couch and they watch rugby. And when I walk into the door, they hardly look at me. They just say, hey, are you still the mayor? And then they burst out laughing. Why? Because in that house, she's just the mother and she's just the wife. And the fact that she's the mayor of Cape Town is really not extremely relevant in that family. Why? Because every woman that is married, and I'll say this again, every woman that is married needs a husband who will lead her. Why? Because God made it like that and it works. I always say, don't ask so many questions. Just believe me, it works. And we see it in the world. We see people apply godly principles. They are not born again at all. We are concerned about them, where they will go when they die. But yet, they apply biblical principles and it works. And I've been married for 15 years, almost. And I know I can see these people here who probably has been married for quite a bit longer. And I'm sure that you will agree with me. It takes us a while to, we wrestle with this thing and we wrestle with this thing and we wrestle until we lose the battle against God. And we see, okay, so God was right. And I was wrong. And now I'll just humbly repent and I'll just do it God's way. And a woman in a marriage needs to have a husband who will lead her for that marriage to work effectively. Why? Because if that husband wants that woman to become the helpmate and the supporter and the strong woman that he needs her to be, then he has to bring leadership. And I find in church and in the world out there, but especially in church, because this is where we need to get this right, that there are many men who find themselves insecure about leading their wives. Especially when that wife has a strong personality, especially when she's manipulative, and especially if she earns a bigger salary, which is in this day and age quite often the case. But I want to say something. And when I say this, I'm obviously agreeing with the word of God. So that should prove the point already. But if I may just share from my own life this morning, I have learned this lesson the hard way over and over and over again. And I'm trusting God that I will not ever have to walk around this mountain again. When a husband leads, he will have to make decisions all the time. That is what leading is. This is the way that we are going to go. This is the way that we are going to handle this. This is how we are going to spend our finances. This is where we are going to live. This is the school where our children will go to. This is how we will spend. That is leading. Leading the wife and the children towards where they should go. And will he make mistakes? Oh yes. He will make big mistakes. And when a husband makes a mistake, the wrongest thing that he can ever do is to stop leading. And the wrongest thing that a wife can do is to keep on rubbing his nose in that mistake. Why? And this is the truth. And I know we don't necessarily want to hear it or like to hear it, but this is what I have learned so powerfully, just in my own marriage, if I may share a little bit from my own life this morning. Every mistake that Anton, my husband, has made in his leadership brought us to a place where we had to eat a couple of bags of salt together. What did it do to us? That salt that we ate together. When he didn't break us, what did it do to us? It made our relationship so much stronger. It made our family so much stronger. It anchored us even deeper in God and in His Word and in His character. And now we stand stronger than we ever stood before. Would it ever be like this if He never made a mistake? No. So God allows it, women. God will allow your husband to make a wrong choice because there's purpose to it. If we are never tested, I always laugh and I always say, when people get married, they stand there in front of the pulpit and the pastor or the person who is marrying them says, well, you love each other until death do you part. And you know, they are so passionate because they really love this person, and they do. That's why they are getting married, and it is great. It is just that there's so much to learn yet. And that honeymoon will carry on until the first baby comes. I see this all the time. And suddenly that love is tested. Or until the first big failure comes. Or until somebody is not acting the way he or she should be acting. Or until whatever happens, that love is tested. And when you can pass the test, it becomes real. So when you have a couple who's been together for 30 years and they stand there and they say, do you love each other? They won't say, oh, we do. They will just, we love each other. Words cannot describe how much we love each other because we've been through it together. I once heard a lady said, will never leave my husband because everything that I went through with him, I can never do it with another person again. You know, it's just once is enough. But this is the truth. So I can look at my husband and maybe he's not exactly what I want him to be right here, right now. But guess what? Nobody else went through everything that we went through together with me. Nobody else said to me when I couldn't get up, I believe in you, you are great, you can do it. Nobody else loved me when it felt like everybody is against me. He was there. And, you know, the Word of God says, he who has been forgiven much, loves much. In my marriage, and I'm sure it's the same for most marriages, we need to forgive each other for a lot of things. And when we get married, we think it's never going to happen to me. Happens to all of us. And the more we forgive each other, the more, the closer we grow to each other. And what I want to say this morning, and there's a lot to say about marriage, and this sermon is not about marriage, but I just want to say that men, and we are going to pray after the sermon for the men. We are going to pray for you. Men, you need to lead your wife, and you need to be the king and the priest and the prophet of your home. And you need to lay down the fear that you are not going to do it successfully, because you are not going to do it successfully. That is the whole point. God will carry you through. God will be your salvation. God will be your hope, as long as you can stick together. I want to read another scripture from Ephesians 5 verse 33. However, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. We are speaking this morning about the fruit of our womb. And how can we come to the absolute full potential of bearing the fruit that God has called us to bear? And ladies, if we are married, then this is what God says. I need you to respect your husband. And when you do, I can bless the fruit of your womb. Have you seen children who grew up with a mother who never respected the father? The fruit of the womb is not always what they would like it to be. I remember at the beginning of this year, the 1st of January, I was sitting with my Bible, like I suppose many of us do at the beginning of every year, saying, okay, God, so what is your word over my life for 2014? And the previous year, I had quite a spectacular word, and in some ways it was quite spectacular. And I sat, and God took me to Proverbs 31, not where I wanted to go. And God said to me, for 2014, I want you to become the wife and the mother that I have called you to be. I want you to learn, because you definitely are still learning. I want you to learn to respect your husband, to serve your husband. And the amazing thing is, when we get married, and I see this with most of the young women that I encounter, this is just something that I've noticed. I'm sure most of us have noticed it. They can't wait to cook for their husbands. Isn't that true? Most of them, they can't wait to cook for their husbands. And then after the first year or two, or after the first baby, there's nothing in you whatsoever that wants to cook for that man at all. Now your servanthood is really tested. But why? Because within us, God has placed a desire to respect that man. And one of the ways to respect him, they say a man is, what did they say? Wat deur sy maag. Die pad na sy hart is deur sy maag. One of the ways to show respect to that man is to cook him a meal and to serve him with it. He will feel respected. There are many ways, and we are not going to speak about all of that. And I especially like in that department, I have a way of saying, ach, sal jy net vir jou eierbroodjie maak, was dit tyd om kos te maak, nee? But God challenged me, and I want to say, ladies, for all of us, God has such a plan and purpose for our lives, but it will never come to pass if we cannot just respect our husbands. Okay, let's move on. I want to speak about women who are not married. And I might be a bit controversial this morning, please forgive me. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 7 verse 8. This is Paul who is speaking. Listen what Paul says. Paul says, but I say to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them to remain even as I am. Did you know that Paul was single? Paul was not married. This is Paul's opinion. The word of God is very clear on many things, and we know that he's not saying that we should not get married. But the opinion that Paul had was that those who are not married could remain like that. So here's my question this morning. Why is the church carrying on and on to put pressure on women to get married? If Paul said it is okay for them to remain as they are. And I want to speak to single women this morning, because God gave me an understanding here. I know it's supernatural because I'm married. Because there's a pressure on single women. You know, I am in conversations so often where somebody will say, how is Sandra? And I say, oh no, she's well. Is she married yet? And I want to say, why should she be, why are we waiting for her to get married? Why are we waiting for her to get married? You know, the Word of God says our identity is who we in Christ. When we get married, there is a change of identity. I used to be Goodwin and now I'm Myberg. But if I find my identity in my husband, the marriage is not really going to go very well. I learned that the hard way. I want to speak to single women, and forgive me if this is not the way that it is usually done, but I want to say, whoever you are right now and wherever you are in your life right now, God has a plan and a purpose, and your identity is in Christ. And what God has called you to accomplish, you can accomplish right here and right now. You do not have to wait for a husband to accomplish that. And I want to appeal to the church, take the pressure off. It is unfair, and it is a yoke that no woman should bear. And stop asking them if you can pray for them. They don't enjoy it anymore. Whether they find a husband or not is between them and God, not our problem. I am so tired of the church acting in a way that God will never act. And I want to say that single women, especially those who are older, those more in their later 30s towards 40, they walk a road that is very precious and very hard because of the expectations of the world and the expectations of the church. And that road that they are walking is producing good fruit because they have to endure and they have to be strong. And there's an anointing on them that we must recognize and that we must draw from. One of my very best friends in the whole world, she lives in Australia, is single. She's a little bit younger than me. I phoned her for all my marriage problems all the years because she knew she could tell me what to do because she's anointed by God. I don't have a good explanation for that. She was just the person that I phoned. So I said, Anton does this and he does this and I don't want to be married anymore. I think I'm going to leave. And then she goes, no, this is the way, this is what the Word of God says, and this is what you have to do. Because she's anointed by God. And this morning, I want to commend the single woman. And I want to say that God has a purpose and a plan for single women as much as He has a purpose and a plan for married women with children. And I want to tell the married women with children, and please forgive me. I know I'm going to see you on Saturday, and then you can, if you're angry with me, then you can come and tell me. But get off your high horse. You are not so special. Your life is not that hard. The single women are walking a road that is probably harder and more challenging than yours. I know, because I speak to people all the time. So stop thinking that, I've got the children now at 3 and 4 years' time and I never sleep. And yes, so just, it's a phase and it's hard and it's going to pass. And then it's going to be easier. And God is using this experience. And I've got a lot to say about this. I will do it on Saturday. It is a privilege. I hope you will still come. Are you angry with me now? It is a privilege and it is a gift. That is what it is, and we must embrace it. But as far as it concerns single women in the church, I want to say that God has given them a specific role and a specific anointing, and it is time for the church to recognize it. And I've been walking with this thing for many years, and it is the first time that I say it from a pulpit, because I believe God released me to do so. And we are going to pray for all the women afterwards. And I want to speak to the single women. And I want to say, I know that you, probably some of you, maybe not all of you, because we cannot make any assumptions. But I know that some of you might have a very deep longing in your heart. Just like a woman who cannot bear children. And she sees all the other women with their, especially in this church, with their pregnant tummies. And just that longing for a baby. And in the same way, you are longing for a husband. And I want to say, yes, it is hard. I can just imagine. Yes, it is difficult. But cling to God. He is your Savior. He is your salvation. And He has got your destiny and your purpose in His hand. And He will not ever let go of you and your purpose and your destiny. I've got a very good friend. Her name is Toni. She's got cerebral palsy. Who of you know her? Lots of people in Shofar know her. She's quite disabled. It's very difficult to understand her when she speaks. She walks funny. She looks funny. She's spastic. She's very exceptionally clever. She's got a degree. And if her body was not struggling that much, she would probably have many more degrees. She's exceptionally intelligent. But she's trapped in this body. and people don't understand when she speaks, and people look at her funny all the time. But you know what? Tony has to embrace what God has given her. She has no other choice, and she does. She has to get up every morning and she's got to say, God, I choose to trust in you. God, I choose to rejoice in this day. God, I choose. And in the same way, whether your husband is a challenge for you, whether your children is a challenge, whether the fact that you are single is a challenge, you and I need to get up in the morning and we need to say, God, I choose. Because your grace is enough. A couple of weeks ago, I was crying like women sometimes do. And I said to my husband, what were we thinking having five children? We were not thinking. You know, he didn't think it was funny. He felt quite offended by that. But, you know, I just had a moment right there where I didn't realize that God's grace is enough. But the next morning I woke up and I chose to believe it because it is. Because our days are in the hands of God every single day. Whatever our situation may be. Okay, I'm going to finish shortly. I want to read from 1 Timothy 2 verse 15, speaking on motherhood. Nevertheless, this speaks about the woman. She will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. You can go and read that whole passage. You know, I never understood what it meant to be saved through childbearing. And then I had children. When I had my first baby, I had a slow but very, very clear understanding that every single day I need to be saved all over again. Every single day I need God's grace all over again, and I need salvation all over again because I sin. And I suddenly life is not the same that it used to be, and I'm irritated, and everything changes. The Word of God says a woman will be saved, sanctified. There's a lot to the Scripture. It's a whole sermon. But I'll only say this right now. When God gives us children, and we'll speak about this on Saturday. I can't wait for Saturday. When God gives us children, He will use them to sanctify us, to cleanse us from unrighteousness, and to force us into the fruit of the Spirit. And we will come out of that much more godlier than we ever were before, if we do it right, if we do it with faith, love, holiness, and self-control. Remember, we are speaking about the fruit of our womb and how God wants to use the things in our lives as women to bring forth the good fruit. I want to read a last scripture. When we speak about building the kingdom of God, I want to read from 1 Peter 3, verse 3 to 4, a very well-known scripture. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. I mean, I skipped that whole part, but it speaks about makeup and hair and, you know, clothing. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. I want to ask and answer. Where does the power lie that the women have in building the kingdom of God? Where does it lie? Does it lie in feminism? Does it lie in being strong and opinionated and you know the women in the Voortrekker tyd who said we will go barefoot over the Drakensberg, you know, I think there was a lot of good in it. But where does the power of a woman lie? You know what God does to me ever so often at the church office or wherever we are. God shows me the men in the house or in the office, especially if it's senior men, men like the fathers who are standing this morning, you know, who's been in the church, who's been around the block, who's been in the ministry for a long time. They've got the battle scars to show it. And God says, go and make them a cup of coffee. I hate making coffee for people. Can I just confess it today? And I hate making tea even more because I just, you know, it's the bag and you know, how strong or how weak and it's rooibos or gewoon, you know. But God will challenge me and he will actually tell me to serve the men in the house. Why? Just like I'm supposed to serve my husband and really trying to get better at it all the time. Why? Because the strength of a woman does not lie in being like the men. The strength of the woman lies in the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. It's got nothing to do with personality. Some women are loud, they speak a lot, they have a lot of confidence. Some women are quiet and reserved. It's got nothing to do with personality. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with the person on the inside. Because when we go with that, we can become leaders and powerful leaders in the kingdom of God. God has given women the ability to see the need in the community and to meet that need and to mobilize the men to meet the need as well. God has given women, because of the womb, He has given them the ability to lay down their lives for others. That is the kingdom. That is what Jesus did. He has given us, and when He gives us children, it teaches us. Therefore, that is why I say it is worth it every second of suffering. Because it teaches us to become gentle and quiet before God and before people. And that quiet does not speak about not speaking. Then I could never qualify. And some of the other ladies here also. It speaks about a spirit attitude, one of waiting on God and allowing God to work through us, and that whole nurturing thing that God has placed in us. And for the single woman, the road that you are walking will prepare you for this as well. Because it is hard and it is lonely sometimes. And we need to become before God gentle and quiet, and He will lift us up. And when we speak, a woman who is willing to serve the men, some women might not like this, a woman is willing to be soft and kind and not opinionated, God will raise her up to serve her children, to serve the community, and she will become a powerful leader, and God will give her a voice because He wants to give us a voice. And what I want to end off with this morning is, may the fruit of our womb, ladies, be blessed. And may each one of us, one day when we die, may we be able to say, look at the fruit of my womb. It is eternal. It is eternal fruit. It goes far, far, way further than I even know, because of my gentle and quiet spirit. Because I understand what God has made me to be, and that is my strength. That is my strength. That is why I am strong. The Word of God speaks about a head of flint. Have you ever seen it? It speaks about a man or a woman who is so strong, their head is so hard, they can break new ground for the kingdom constantly because of the strength that they have. God made us strong. Have you ever seen that little... It was on Facebook and everywhere. Of the two men, they had like a... They caused them to have birth pains when you're going... Did you see it? Men cannot do what we can do. They can do other things. Those men could not do it. because God has given us a special ability. And we will be amazed at what God can do if we fulfill that which He has called us to fulfill. So I want to ask, before we pray for the women, we are going to lay hands on the men this morning. And we are going to pray that the men in our midst will not be insecure in the position that God has placed them to be. And that they will not fear, even though it is daunting sometimes to lead a family and to lead in the workplace and to lead wherever you go in the church. But that God will enable them to be bold as a lion but gentle as a dove. So I want to ask if all the men can stand, please. I want to ask the women. I'm just going to pray a prayer over them. And then we are going to do the more special prayer because this morning is about the women. I want to ask those of you, the ladies around the men, to just place your hands on them and we are just going to pray for them. Father, this morning we worship You for every man that is standing, God. Father, we worship You that just like the men of old in the Bible, God, who had to do mighty exploits for You, even though they were afraid, even though they were insecure sometimes, like Gideon, like Joshua, like Moses, like Abraham. So many of them, Father, like Joseph, like Paul, like Peter, Lord, that even though they were afraid, even though they made many, many mistakes, Father, Your anointing was upon them in such a way that they saw the kingdom of darkness crumble before their eyes wherever they went, and they saw the light shining in. God, I thank You that there is no difference between Moses and Gideon and Joshua and Joseph and Paul and Peter and Matthew or any man that is standing here this morning. No difference, Father. We are just a different generation with a different kind of challenge, but no difference, Father. And as You have anointed those men of old, You will anoint these men to become the leaders that You have called them to become. In the name of Jesus, Father, in the church and in the home and in the community, Father, we especially pray for every husband that is standing. Father, we pray that they will not be intimidated by past failures, Father. But instead, Father, we pray that they will look at You and that they will say, I will walk on the water because I have faith. I will lead my wife and I will lead my family. And I will trust in God. And when I make a mistake, I will get over it quickly. And I will move on because there's no time to waste. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to ask the men to sit. And I want to ask the women to stand. I want to ask the women. I know we did it at Awaken as well. We are going to do it again. You could just put your hand on your womb. And like I said at Awaken, if you had a hysterectomy, you can still put your hand there. It's not about the physical, it is about the spiritual. Oh Father, You see every precious daughter of Yours here in this building this morning, God. You see them, Lord. Oh Father, You see just their beauty, Lord. You see their outward beauty, their hair, their eyes, their mouths, their noses, their bodies. God, You made them beautiful, Father. Each one of them, Lord. Whether they are in their 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s. You have made them beautiful, Father. Whether they're married or not, whether they have children or not, You have made them precious, God. Father, I thank You for every one of them that is standing this morning. You know them by name, even though I don't. And God, as they are putting their hands on their wombs, Father, this morning we pray that you will bless the fruit of their womb. Father, for each one of them, just like Mary, just like Deborah, just like Esther, just like Elizabeth, just like every one of those women of old, for every one of them, Father, you have separated them unto you for a very specific calling, for a very specific purpose. So, Father, this morning I pray that for those of them who have been chained, Lord, I just sense that there are women here, and it's like you know that there's a purpose and you know that there's a destiny, but it's like you are chained, and it's like you are bound and you can't get there. If that is you, Father, I especially pray for them this morning. Father, I pray that those chains which are just lies from the enemy, lies, lies, lies. Father, I pray this morning that every lie will lose its power over them right now in the name of Jesus. Every lie. That they will break loose from those lies. And Father, I thank you, God, as they are touching their wombs, Father, symbolizing what you have called them to, which is a position of power. A position of creativity, a position of endurance and strength and heads of flint. Like Mary, you blessed the fruit of her womb, and she saw her son dying on the cross, but she saw him alive and well again. And in the same way, Father, I thank you that many of these women that are standing, they have been disappointed, just like Mary, that the Son of God had to be crucified. They have been disillusioned. They have been hurt. But God, thank you that they can know this morning that resurrection always comes in the name of Jesus. That deliverance always comes in the name of Jesus. And God, for every one of them, you call them into that special place for special fruit. Not one of them here will have the same fruit for their wombs, Father. Because you have created us uniquely. But I pray, God, that whatever their unique fruit is that you have planned for them before the foundation of the earth, that it will come to fulfillment in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray over them a gentle and a quiet spirit. The opposite of wanting to take control. The opposite of wanting to give an opinion. The opposite of wanting to feel sorry for ourselves. The opposite of everything that comes from Satan. But Father, life, 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 and life in abundance. Father, thank you that we gain when we lay down, when we sacrifice. Thank you that the kingdom of God works differently from the kingdom in this world. And Father, I pray that they will see with their eyes the fruit of their wombs. And Father, I prophesy over them, each and every one of them that is standing right now. I pray, God, that one day when they die, they will say, I did it. What God has called me for, I did it. I did it. Whether it seems big or small in the world's eyes is irrelevant, God, because you have called them. You have called them. And I worship you for it. We worship you for it. Father, I pray that they will know you like Mary knew you. That is why you chose her. I pray that you will bless the fruit of their womb like you blessed the fruit of Mary's womb. In the same way that they will bring Jesus to this world in their unique manner. Father, I thank you that you have made them beautiful. In the name of Jesus, you can be seated.